you're here. Fellowship, sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you. We're glad you're here.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Wednesday, August 5th, 2020. Joining me in the studio at the Great News Radio Center here at Lincoln Square, stop by and say hi sometimes, is co-host Mary Ann Simpkins.
Hello. Oh, my goodness.
That's the crowd noise. The crowd noise that
nobody
can't meet
knows
with
what
us.
That is,
social
except you.
Distancing. Yeah, I always grew up doing that with other friends. You would say, yeah, we did great. And people would say, what do you mean we? Who's we?
Yeah.
And I'd say, or others would say, you know, me and the fans. And like, what
me
fans?
And the fans. Oh, that's
the fans that are around.
So that's what y'all did, huh?
Yeah, make believe, you know, we have these fans around us. And then also our copy editor, Rob Seidenberg.
Good morning, Mark.
Yeah, good morning.
Apparently there's make-believe fans around
the
room.
Yeah, apparently. Right. Well, I've met several make-believe fans.
Well, they do say to be most effective, I've never
just
really
make up
subscribed
your own fans.
That.
That's
well,
what they say.
If you're speaking on the radio, and some studios, I've seen that, where they'll have a picture of an audience, or they'll have people that you want to mentally think you're speaking to such and such, or this family, or this group. Mm. In fact, some stations will target and say, we've named her Karen Evans. She's 26 years old. She's divorced. She has two children and a dog. And they focus so much on that's their target. And they will speak to Karen. They will talk to her. I've been to these radio seminars, and I've never subscribed to being so narrow. But
what's the dog's name, Mark?
Yeah, like I said, I didn't subscribe to it. But it is good and healthy to kind of picture. And then one thing that I've learned at some of these sessions, too, recognize that the man likes certain kind of picture stories versus maybe a woman. Now, again, oversimplification.
Oh, we're going into real interesting territory
here. But like with a man, you might say, so on his way to work, he had
his
hard hat. There was dust. He had his gloves with him. He was in his truck. And so the guys are picturing, you know, what's going on, and they can appreciate that. Where for the woman, it's like she doesn't care that he has a hard hat on and dust in his gloves and he's in a pickup. They want to know, oh, but in his mailbox there was a note from his wife. They want to know more relationally what's going on and more of the storyline where the guy wants to know.
I could never have stereotyped things better myself.
Okay. So, yeah. Anyway, so
those sweet women want the note. That's
again,
those
over
rough and tough men.
Yeah. With our toolbox. So anyways, we do try to picture your needs, why you're tuned in, what we can maybe offer. We always do pray up the program, Lord, allow what's said and shared to be useful or helpful or good points of conviction. We do try to figure out what can we say that is helpful, that helps you know God better, that'll maybe help you on your faith journey. And so we do have some fun and share, and I certainly put us on tangents maybe we shouldn't go to. And so let me share a few quick tangents before we do our Prime Life Times in review, because it's Wednesday and we love to share our beloved paper with everyone, and we get a lot of feedback on how it's helpful and encouraging. It's a positive paper, it's informative, it's engaging. It has puzzles and comics and a lot of helpful stories, along with some great advertisers that provide good services and products. So we hope you'll frequent them and thank them for helping support this paper. But the other day I was in Bloomington, and we now are going through a number of papers at Bandana's Barbecue. Anthony's the owner there. He's a Christian man, and I believe he'll be on a future testimony Tuesday or a memorization Monday, but you can pick up the Prime Life Times in Bloomington at Bandana's Barbecue along with Pizza Ranch. And we were at and are at Pleasant Lanes Family Fun Center, but I think they had an outbreak of the COVID-19 and have had to shut down.
So many places, and then they just have to shut down for a couple weeks.
Yeah, they have like 32 bowling lanes.
I love bowling.
And they have the putt-putt golf and the sandbox volleyball and other things. And I was delivering papers once, and the lot was packed. Can't say hundreds of cars, but if they have 87 spots for cars, I mean, I don't know. There's a big parking lot, so I can't imagine how many cars. But every single spot was filled, so I had to wait a while. And anyways, I think shortly after that, there was that breakout or something. What do you say? If something is contaminated, they're
decontaminating.
Decontaminating, yeah. Or, you know, hopefully they'll be back in
sanitizing.
Business. I'm hoping to have a radio event there someday our staff will be there. People can come out, just say,
I guess I will come.
5 to 8 people.
I was offering.
You're invited. You know, a fun family night, you know, putt-putt golf. You know, we'll have some kind of snacks and a meet and greet and program guides offered. Hopefully we'll have some yard signs and some other festivities, meet the great listeners in and around the Bloomington area.
Take some pictures. You know, we don't have pictures of our listeners around the studio like you were talking about at the
beginning. Well, we do have some over there, at a couple of the big events.
Yeah, that's true. Rob, you want your picture taken? We can put it up on the wall.
Better not.
Okay. And we have Abby Shai over here. He's the mayor
he's
of Tiberias.
Yeah. I'm in the Witless Protection Program.
Oh, are you? Okay.
And hopefully we're going to be in great clips in Bloomington soon, where we're ironing out the details there. But somewhat of a big announcement, Rural Kings.
Yeah.
If you stop by Rural King today, actually, as a matter of fact, from August 2nd through the 15th, so over the next 10 days, and you hold on to your receipt, and you go to ruralking.com/churchweek, 10% of your purchases at Rural King will be donated back to Great News Radio. So if you need some chicken feed or fencing or all the different things, I mean, they have clothing.
I'm buying a chainsaw over there. Oh. Think about how much Great News Radio will get from that.
Yeah, $300 chainsaw, pop. There's $30 for Great News Radio.
Rob's got his
thumb
going up.
Oh, even more? A nice chainsaw.
Professional model.
Okay. So if you stop by Rural King and purchase something, hold on to your receipt, and you can call us if you can't figure out how to do it, but if you go to ruralking.com/churchweek, you then can designate Great News Radio a recipient receiving 10% the total of your purchase. So stop by Rural King and purchase up a bunch of stuff that you need. And they're doing it because of the effects of COVID-19 on churches, on ministries, and they want to help individuals and thought, hey, what a great way if 10% can go back to their favorite church or organization or ministry. In our case, they include Christian radio stations. So
helps keep everybody on their feet.
So stop by Rural King, purchase some things, hold on to your receipt, and then log on to their website, ruralking.com, and then /churchweek. And there's a process where you type in the information on your receipt, and then 10% will be given to us in a few weeks. So that's kind of neat that they're doing that. So, woo-hoo. All right.
You might say Rural King rules.
Yes, you might. I'll let you say it. Another very encouraging letter we received the other day. This is from Clarice, and she sent in a donation and a very sweet note, and it refers back to our special guest, Bill Dolan, who we had on a few weeks ago. So, Marianne, maybe you can read that for our listeners.
Yeah, I sure can.
I think this will be a blessing to everyone, and be praying her up and thanking her for her support and how the radio ministry is touching her under her circumstances.
And thank you for your gift. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Clarice, if your name is Clarice, I'm sorry, I'm going to say Clarice because I don't know. So, okay. To the staff of Great News Radio, I'm a previous listener of WLLM. I met and got to know Bill Dolan, the previous station manager of WLLM. I used to send my tithes to them. I'm so glad you all took over the station and are playing upgraded music and Bible lessons. Bill was a great station manager. When the station closed down, the radio station went down. Now I'm back hearing your renewed station.
Woohoo! Thanks.
Thank you for the variety of music and sermons. I'm locked down at Logan Correctional. It's really hard not being around other Christians. Your station encourages me along with WLUJ.
Mm-hmm.
Please send me a program guide so I can know the different programs at what times they're airing. I'm sending $25 for tithes and offerings. I sing thank you. As God blesses me, I will continue, the Lord willing, to send offerings to your station. Thanks again, and may God bless all of you. The interview with Bill Dolan was nice and refreshing to hear him on air again. Sincerely, Clarice.
And that's sweet and special.
It's a beautiful letter.
Honoring Bill and how God's using the radio broadcast to touch her. And she's in a unique position where she's at, where she can get WLUJ and WLLM, which
now has the programming of Great News Radio, so she has some options. And so we sent her off a program guide. And thanks for your support, and thanks for encouraging us with this letter. And I trust that many of our listeners will be lifting her up in prayer. And those that are incarcerated, those because of circumstances are tuning into the radio, maybe they can't go to church or are in transition where maybe they've moved into the area and haven't found a church yet, and we just want to be used of God to touch lives and help people on their faith journey.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you so much. So, Rob, I think you're up to read your article from the edition of the Prime Life Times.
Thank you. And I had a complaint from a good friend who...
Oh, well, that's a great start.
He listens to our program.
I gave you a great introduction. Now, what kind of complaint did you get?
No, he said, Rob, why aren't you on the air anymore? And no, this was a while back. And so I want to give a shout out to June Kaba, who listens on his way to his job. And he happens to clean a church in Savoy.
Okay, so, June, here's Rob.
So, June, Rob has behaved this month, and so we've invited him in.
We invite him no matter what. He's wonderful.
Okay. I'm glad your love isn't conditional, guys.
So, this is from the column Rural Memories that Rob writes every month for the Prime Life Times.
And as I often remind Marianne, all my memories are rural. Okay.
Actually, they're not. You've got memories of a lot of stuff. Anyway, go ahead.
This is a secondhand story.
Okay.
It's called The Bishop Went A-Fishing. As boys, my brother and I got a lot of work done while listening to Dad's stories. Hey, I come by this storytelling honestly. I still have great fondness for the time spent with Dad, even during his 90s, especially fixing fence and doing other quiet tasks during which we could work and chat. One of my favorite Dad stories is from his younger years when he was growing up a tenth of a mile or so from the Plum River. His mom was a renowned cook. When a visiting preacher or even the denominational bishop came to speak at their rural church, the pastor often asked Grandma to host him for a Sunday afternoon meal. She usually did. This meal, dinner, on the farm, would be ready at about 2 p.m., and it would be well worth waiting for. Grandma specialized in pan-fried breaded chicken, and I can attest to how good it was.
Sounds good.
I think her chicken gravy might have been the finest on the planet. And when you ladled it onto mashed potatoes.
Oh, now we're talking my love language.
Yeah, this is great.
Yeah, keep reading. As a former pastor of mine would say, preach right there a little bit. With some garden fresh yellow wax beans on the side. Well, it just didn't get much better than that. Now top off that meal with a slice of watermelon and a dish of homemade ice cream, and you really had something to crow about. Setting hens hatch out about equal numbers of pullets and roosters, no problem. The pullets would grow up to be laying hens, and tender young roosters made great friars. As Dad put it, lots of roosters went into the ministry in those days. So it was that on a warm, late August
Sunday...
Hey, wait,
I got to digress here a minute.
Please
do. You know, our rooster, every morning now between 5:28 and 5:37... He gets going and is he loud.
You should take that to heart, Mark.
Our neighbors.
We'll start recording at 6, okay?
Yeah. Oh, wow, this rooster.
Yeah, adult roosters are illegal to own and keep in Champaign, just so you know.
Okay.
My rights have been violated.
Thankfully, Mark's out in the country.
Yeah, I'm out in the country.
So it was that on a warm, late August Sunday, the bishop pushed back from Grandma Ida's table, rubbed his expansive stomach, and asked innocently, "Boys, is that a river I see just over the way? Any fish in it?" No, Dad and his three younger brothers were not permitted to fish on the Lord's Day, which by then had pretty much taken as its own the admonition to remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. Dad, being of a practical bent, didn't like not fishing on Sunday, because that also meant he couldn't put out throw lines on Saturday night to check on Sunday morning, or even put them out Sunday night to check first thing Monday morning, the evening and the morning being the first day, as we know. But on this fine July Sunday, off went the bishop and the boys, fishing poles in hand, and they brought home a big enough mess of fish to have a bountiful supper, augmented with freshly picked corn on the cob and some steamed broccoli with fresh carrots. During his evening sermon, the bishop...
Somehow we always get food into the morning
program. We manage to. We do.
During his evening sermon, the bishop, ever mindful as to which side his bread was buttered on, complimented Grandma lavishly on her cooking and mentioned that day's good fishing. That last part might have raised a few eyebrows in the church, but nothing was said about it. To the bishop, who luckily slept well that night, the moral of the story might have been to keep on Grandma Ida's good side so as to enjoy future meals in her farmhouse kitchen. To Dad, though, it ushered in a new era in which Sunday fishing had the bishop's blessing. And if it was good enough for the bishop, it was good enough for Grandma's boys.
Copyright Rob Seidenberg. Used by permission, Rob grew up less than a mile from that same river. By then, fortunately, it was okay to fish on Sunday.
And there's a nice picture of you with your full beard and
scary, isn't it?
I love that picture. Looking out the window, you look very
picturesque. That's taken at Huntington Beach State Park in North Carolina.
Okay.
Now being battered by a downgraded Isaias.
Yeah.
Wow. So he got the blessing from the bishop to fish. I was asking, because I know, you know, many people have various points of view on this, and then there's the biblical point of view on it, but fishing was considered work and not just like a hobby or a fun adventure.
Well, it wasn't necessary work. For example, even in the Old Testament, one milked the cows, fed the livestock, and so on. So livestock chores went on as usual, given that Christians by then had decided the Sabbath was really on Sunday. Now, it wasn't, of course, as we know, but, I mean, I could add to, you know, I could count to seven as a boy, and I always questioned that. But we did all the livestock chores every day. We fed the horses, we fed the cows, we fed the calves, we fed the chickens. We gathered the eggs, otherwise they get broken. Mm-hmm. But we didn't go out and plow or...
Not allowed to work the ends.
Well, fortunately, we didn't have to hoe in the garden either, so...
Yeah, no, but I was wondering, like, the grass, you know, I work, and then I'm off, and so I was thinking if that was like a fun, relaxing way you worship God because you're out sitting and, okay, Marianne's shaking her head saying, no. Well, I'm not trying to justify it, but in my mind I would have just thought, wow, that's a fun activity, a father-son thing doing fishing.
Well, Dad was a great fisherman, and he finally did, late in life, start fishing on Sunday almost reluctantly. My mom would sit in the car with the door open, reading her book. Dad's eyesight was pretty bad then from macular degeneration. I have a lovely picture, and he's down there fishing, and the guy who owns that pond took that picture. It's a great picture of Dad and my mom. Then she would come down and do the nasty thing of putting the worm on the hook, and he would catch bass by the dozens, you know, whatever the limit was, he'd catch that number. And he was always a great fisherman, no doubt. I mean, he just knew how to do that. I've never risen to that level. But one day he was fishing off a pier on the Mississippi River, and a bunch of fishermen were looking for a good spot to fish. So they went down and said, hey, that old guy looks like he knows what he's doing. And they said, hey, how are the fish? And he said, well, they haven't bothered me at all so far. Now, his other good fishing joke was this. This guy said, what's your secret? You're catching with every time you throw a hook in, you catch a fish. What's going on? And he said, mm-hmm. He said, what? He said, mm-hmm. He thought, oh, man, the poor guy's got a speech defect. So he went up closer and he said, I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. He reached in his mouth and said, you got to keep the worms warm. So being a worm farmer, I can give you recipes for worms, but I don't eat them myself. I let them work while I sleep.
Oh, Rob, I'll never look at you the same now.
Now, what's that friend that wonders why you haven't been on the air as long?
He's a great fisherman, too, by the way.
Those great stories. Keep the worms warm, huh?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, speaking of good food, we do have an article in the paper as well by Sherry Gordon Harris about farmers markets in the area, and it's very interesting. I know there's not time to go through the whole article, but, yeah, I mean, she really points out some ways that farmers markets even support communities and even farmland. But she has a list of different farmers markets I didn't even know about. Peoria Riverfront Market in Peoria, Galesburg Farmers Market, of course, in Galesburg, Kankakee Farmers Market in Kankakee, Edgebrook Farmers Market in Rockford, Macomb Farmers Market in Macomb.
Woohoo, Macomb.
I've been to that one a lot of times. It's great farmers market. Absolutely.
Really?
We get a great signal into Macomb. In fact, there's two frequencies in Macomb.
It's right down around the city buildings there, the Courthouse Square.
Yep. Oh, God. Champaign Farmers Market, Champaign. Old Capitol Farmers Market in Springfield. And Freight House Farmers Market in Davenport, Iowa. I looked up that freight house. That looks kind of cool.
Hey, I don't see a mention to the farmer's market here at Lincoln Square that's oftentimes on Saturdays with regularity.
Yeah, it's every Saturday in
Urbana.
This time of year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right
and
here.
And then there's
lots more. I mean,
mention of the one in Bloomington Normal either. Mm-hmm. And I have friends who make all these with their, market to garden or farm to garden.
Yeah, I'd love to go to farmer's market and hear them say to me, yeah, we picked these early this morning. I'm like, oh, I love it.
when you get corn on the cob, sweet corn on the cob and butter on it.
And that's the secret right there. You pick it, you shuck it, and you cook it and eat it right then. And, the K gene for really sweet corn was developed right here at the U of I. And today, almost all sweet corn has that in it. But if you buy
a
package.
What do you call it, Kate?
Well, it was called the K gene.
Oh, K gene.
G-E-N-E.
Okay. And I thought it was like a Cajun. Have you had that corn where it's, what are they called, like the Spanish style where they have sour cream? And there's a name for that.
My youngest daughter's father-in-law, he grills corn out on.
Yeah, they grill.
My goodness.
And there's sour cream and cream
here's something.
Cheese. I don't know.
Have to say this. I'm sorry if it upsets people, but there is no tomato like Tennessee tomatoes. I mean, even County Market in these areas, they'll have a big sign sometimes that says, Tennessee tomatoes are here, because they know, see?
Tennessee
tomatoes, nothing like them.
Well, I invite you to stop by my garden and help yourself to some tomatoes.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
You can do a taste test comparison. There.
Oh, I bet they're good, Rob.
Wow. And is that near your worm farm?
Oh, gosh.
It's right on top of my worm farm.
Of course it is.
They're co-located.
In fact, when we do have a few extra Prime Lifetimes papers at the end of the month, we donate them to Rob because your worms like the paper, huh?
Yeah, and I won't mention any other newspaper names, but they prefer the Prime Lifetimes to other newspers.
Of course they do.
So on a taste test, the worms have voted 10 to 1.
How much help that's going to be in our...
Yeah, go figure. All right, well, you can find out more about the Prime Lifetimes by going to primelifetimes.com, primelifetimes.com. Subscriptions are available for $30 a year. That's for 12 months and basically covers the postage so it can be sent to you as soon as they're printed and available. PrimeLifetimes.com. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns, Marianne Simpkins, and Rob Seidenberg with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you, and have a great day and night.